This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. اليوم 16 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق ل 30 من شهر نوفمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في عليه. So today, inshallah, we'll be dealing with a new surah, which is Surah to Al-Fil. I remember talking about إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةً فِي أَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةً. Maybe Mazin slept. Yeah. Okay, so today's Surah Al-Fil, inshallah. Yeah. So this surah is Makkiyah, like its predecessors, meaning it was given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Mecca before he migrated to Medina. And most of these surahs, they're short. It's very straightforward and very strong and powerful in the lessons they send into the old. This strength in Iman, and also they're not ready to accommodate details. You get it? So that's the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes people within this gradual process. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. This Ashab al-Fil, you know, their story is one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this Ummah, and also it's one of the irhasat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, a place before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these are just introduction to tell people that something is going to happen, which is so big, right? The mu'jiza. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born at that time. It's really a miracle, something that is not normal. Yeah. A lot of stories by the historian concerning what exactly happened in the battle between those two Abyssinians, and they did that in Yemen. One of them was Abraha. At the end of the day, through the help of his army, he was able to win the battle, right? So he became a leader in that place. So anyway, they decided to divert people from going to Kaaba. You know, that's why they made that house in Yemen. Yeah, they made the house in Yemen. The church, very big and beautiful, so that they can divert people from Kaaba to this place. Yeah, and according to the history, one of the Arabs was annoyed with this. Yeah, because the most respected place is the Kaaba. And the Abyssinians, they were Christian. Yeah, they were not Muslims. Yeah, in the way we respect the Kaaba, they don't respect. So one of those Arabs, and it wasn't a Muslim because there was no Islam at that time, he went and he defecated in that place, akramakumullah. That's what provoked Abraha. And then he decided to take revenge. Since this is the case, I'm going to take action against their house. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدُوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Don't curse somebody who is worshipping other than Allah, because they're going to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of your curse, they're going to curse Allah. Yeah, they will not just curse you, they will curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very, very big matter. So I'm just trying to cut the story short. Inshallah, the details, you go to the seerah. Inshallah, you get all the details there. So what happened was, he planned to come and destroy the Kaaba. Got the permission from the top leaders there. and he moved with his elephant, you know, coming to destroy the Kaaba. So he managed to reach the the city, Mecca. And then on the way, they took the camels that belonged to Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They took those camels. So when they reached Mecca, they demanded to see Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib was a very tall and handsome person. And he was a leader of Mecca. So that's why he demanded to meet him. When he met him, Abdul Muttalib told him, we are not at the strength to fight you. Me, my main concern is my camels that you took. He says, please give me back my camels. وَالْبَيْتُ لَهُ رَبٌّ يَحْمِي. He says, for the house, it has its own Lord that will protect it. We can't fight you, but the house has the owner. The owner will protect his house. Get it? So they said Abraha was very annoyed because when he saw Abdul Muttalib, he respected him. You know, he had that prestige, you know. Very respected person. If you see him, his shakal is, is a person that you respect. So he respected him. But then when he asked for the camels, Abraha was annoyed with him. He says, come on, this is your house, the most respected place here, and you're worrying about the camels, not the house? He said, yes, I am the owner of the camels. I am not the owner of the house. The house has its own owner. So I'm more concerned about my camels. Give me my camels. And the house has its own owner. You protect it. So we get inside. Abraha told the people to leave the place for them. And subhanAllah, when they come to the place, as you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent those Tayr al-Ababil to come and destroy them all. وَالْبَيْتِ لَهُ رَبٌّ يَحْمِي. Yeah, so they did not succeed. So this is a story that happened in the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in this year. Yeah, كانت العرب تؤرخ بي الحوادث. The Arabs in the past, they used to mark the history with the events. عام الفيل, عام كذا, عام كذا. Yeah. They don't have a proper calendar system that we have in nowadays. But so they used to use events. This happens during the year of this. It happens during the year of this. Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born during the year of Fil. قال ألم ترى كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل. So they were destroyed. None of them survived. Yeah. Abdul Muttalib was right. Yeah, I want you to pay attention to this, you know. In that time, Allah sent Tayr al-Ababil. In the history, we have the history of the Karamita, right? The Karamita, these are the Bataniya, the worst type of Bataniya. They also related to Tashayyu', to Shia, and other Aqaid. Yeah. They really, really put the Muslim on a trial. They killed so many Muslims next to the Kaaba. Al-Qurmati, they said the leader, you know, he killed so many next to the Kaaba, and he was saying, Aina Tayr al-Ababil? Where is the Tayr al-Ababil? A'udhu billah. He was saying, where is the Tayr al-Ababil? And he was saying, Ana Allah. He is talking about himself. He is Allah. He says, Ana Rabb wa Rabbu Ana. He says, he is Rabb, and Rabb also is him. He says, يَخْلُقُهُمْ هُوَ وَأُفْنِيهِمْ أَنَا. He says, he creates them and I finish them here. SubhanAllah. So they took the black stone with them, you know, and it was kept with them for, I guess, about 20 years until the time the Muslims were able to bring it back. But now the question is, in the time of the Arabs, the Jahiliyyah, Allah sent Tayr al-Ababil. But now these guys came and there was no Tayr al-Ababil. So the scholars said, because in those days, like Abdul Muttalib said, he said, I'm responsible of my camels, but the house has its own owner. He is responsible to protect it. You get it? Because there was no Muslim there to care so much about the house. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stepped in and take care of the battle. But in our time, we are supposed to be protecting the house. If we don't, then we are responsible. To get an idea, this is an increase in the responsibility and accountability when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened. Yeah, whatever was done to the Kaaba, Hajjaj also hit the Kaaba with al-Majaniq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do anything to him. You get it? Yeah, all of these because we are Muslims and we are supposed to take care of the house. No, maybe if the case is like the case of the situations of Abdul Muttalib in the past, no Muslims there, then you might see another Tayru al-Ababil, Wallahu alam, Wallahu alam. But the scholar said this might happen because now there is a protector for the house, somebody who is responsible to make sure that the house is being protected properly. So this is a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was narrating to us, that he protected the Meccans. And this is also an invitation, you know, to the Meccans to understand the favor of Allah upon them. Maybe that will be sufficient for them to accept Islam. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from time to time, he does this with the people to remind them about his blessings upon them, because this is a very good motivator to tell a person that the one that you're dealing with is not an enemy. Is not an enemy, right? Allah did that with the Jews a lot. You go to Surah Al-Baqarah from the beginning, almost across the half of Surah Al-Baqarah, and still the story of the Jew kept on following us until then of the Surah. You get it? And nobody was mentioned in the Quran more than Musa alayhi salam and his people. These are the Jews. And this is my personal, you know, advice to all of us to understand that this enemy is just the same as it was before the time of Musa alayhi salam. You see the Yahud, look at their behavior, their attitude. Look at the Yahud in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Yeah, study properly. You will see that these are the same. We just have to be prepared. They don't believe that somebody should exist other than them. And there is nobody who is like what they say nowadays, right? Yeah, nobody should exist except their Torah, which is not the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, you know, that evil and useless rabbi who was saying that in their Torah, they are commanded to kill everyone. They don't deserve to exist. Yeah. So their Torah, yeah, their Torah. So they're the enemy of the humanity. They're not the enemy of the Palestinian. Anyone who thinks from the kuffar that the Jew is the enemy of the Muslims, he's wrong. They're the enemy of the humanity. And they don't be in a place where, and then at the same place you see peace in that place. Never. And that's the reason why the West don't want them to go back to them. Yeah, it's not about they want them to stay in that place. No, they don't want them to come to them. Because they know when they come to them, they will live in mushkila. Yeah, so you have to keep them with us. So we will keep suffering. Yeah. Go to the history and see the confirmation of what I'm saying. There's no place where they stay and then you see peace in that place. Never, never. They can't. They also confess by themselves. They said they are a nation that doesn't live without an enemy. If an enemy is dead, they will bring another one. Yeah, that's... May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the day this evil and deficient, you know, part of humanity will be removed from us. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Don't you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with the people of Fil? These are the Abraha and Junuduhu. Fil is the elephant. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. لَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. You know, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed their plot. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed their plot. No matter how much strong is the plot of a person against Allah and his people, that plot is useless. It's like something that doesn't exist. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعَرُونَ فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ قَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُوا. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we destroyed them all. They plot, they plan, and we did plan also. When was the plan? The plan was fill as a, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already planned. This plan has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. That these guys will plot against Allah and Allah will take action. And look at that action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel because they're so useless. They don't need a group of angels to come and fight them with swords and weapons, you know. It's just one shout. life ceased in that place completely. Nobody lived in that place. And their page was closed, never to return up to date. Never up to date, you Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا وَلَا يَخَافَ عُقُبَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He destroyed them completely. Erased them from the history. You know, بِذَنْبِهِمْ, because of their sins. فَسَوَّاهَا, level them, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that is closed that page completely. وَلَا يَخَافَ عُقُبَهَا. I love this one. Because there is nobody who can kill another person. No matter how much strong he is, to say that he doesn't have a fear that a day will come where somebody will be taking revenge, nobody. Get it? The consequence is always there. Even those tyrant rulers, Hitler and Napoleon and all of those, Stalin and those gangsters that lived on earth, all of them, they have in their mind that a day might come, somebody's going to take revenge. They make plan for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He destroys every single person who is going in the wrong way among those guys. He says, وَلَا يَخَافَ عُقُبَهَا. Allah doesn't even care about what will come. One of our scholars said, these guys, they are even gone, you know. Even if they do exist, they remain, they cannot do anything. What can they do? Nothing. But the history was closed, you know, completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, uprooted them, you know, from existence. What can they do? Even if they exist, they will not do anything. What do you think their situation will be in the case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erased them completely? So, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them طَيْرُ الْأَبَابِيلِ. Many interpretations of the scholars. Some of them said it's a place. These are the birds, the kind of the bird that comes from the bahar. You know, they come and they're carrying hijara. You know, طَيْر, so black birds. And they are carrying, hijara, and pebbles and rock with their mouth and their legs. Yeah. So, Wallahu A'lam, we believe that these are birds that came with those stones. And what type of birds? You have a lot of statement from the Mufassirin. This one saying that. But what we can come up with it is these are birds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Each one of them is carrying a stone for a person, specific person. Yeah, and they go and throw the stone on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. They brought a hijara from hell, you know, to cast on them. You know, تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. Hijara, you know, from the teen, from the clean, taken from the hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them ka'asfim ma'kool. It's just like the chewed grass or fruit or any food that the animal is, feeding itself with. When they chew it and they threw it away. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them completely. So this event happened as irhas, as the scholar said. Irhas means an introduction to tell people that something big is about to arrive. And that's the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yeah, that's the biggest thing that happened to the world, the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His coming was the biggest event, and his going also was the biggest event. Biggest calamity. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you have any musibah that is bothering you, you should remember the Yaw Musibah by losing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That should make Yaw Musibah a little bit easier to handle. And as Ibn Malik said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina, everything became bright. Yeah, everything became bright. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this life, everything became dark. It's like they couldn't see things, you know. Many of them don't even believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gone. You know, so much on them in the way they cannot comprehend. Umar radiallahu anhu pick up his sword and he pull it out and tell the people, whoever says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead, his head will reach the ground. He will also follow him. He says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not die, and he will never die until he get rid of the munafiqeen. That's how much he hates the munafiqeen. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like Musa alayhi salam. He will not die now. He will get rid of the munafiqeen first and then he will die. That's why they said Abu Bakr is stronger than Umar radiallahu anhu. Yeah? In terms of physical, you know, strength, you might say, yeah, Umar is stronger than Abu Bakr because Abu Bakr is very slim. He's a fighter, he's a hero, but very slim. Umar is not like that. And Umar was so strong, even the Prophet said, Ashaddu ummati fi dhatillah. The strongest person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he uses his power in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Umar. Nobody is like him in my ummah. That's why they say, he said, ما سلكت فجا إلا سلك الشيطان فجا غيره. Or كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Umar never used a path. If Shaitan is to use the same path and he knows that Umar is in that place, he will change. He came to the house and then he said, Assalamu alaykum, Rasulullah. There were a group of sisters there with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're raising up their voice. That was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, very lenient. And then Umar came to the house. After they hear his salam, every one of them sat properly and kept quiet. Prophet ﷺ was surprised, what exactly is happening here? They were shouting, they were raising up their voice, you know, because the Prophet ﷺ was very soft. Let them enjoy their right. Then Umar get into the place, they kept quiet. Yeah. So Rasulullah ﷺ was amazed. He says, he told Umar that wherever he goes, Shaitan doesn't come to that place. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, what happened actually? He said, these ones, they are just raising up their voice, yeah. Enjoying their life, but when he said Assalamu alaikum, none of them was talking. They sit properly, and then so Umar got annoyed. He looked at them. He says, "You, the enemy of yourself, you are afraid of me, and you're not afraid of Rasulullah." And subhanAllah, they told him, "Yes, yes, we're afraid of you, because you're so harsh." Subhanallah, that balance of the harshness in the jahiliyyah, which is in the mind of the people, is still there. Yeah, because even after Islam, Umar doesn't accept nonsense. But he doesn't put his harshness also on the Muslims. But they couldn't remove it from their brain. Yeah, that's why when they introduce Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know, Abu Bakr, when he died, before he dies, he told Aisha, the one who he said to her, he said, the land I gave you, I wish you took it. Then it is yours. But since you do not take it until now, and now I'm about to go, then you and the rest of the, what do you call, you and your siblings, you know, you are just a partner in the estate. And then he was talking, he says, you and your brothers and your sister and the other sister. She said to him, I have only one sister, which is Asma. What do you mean by the other sister? He told her the pregnancy that I left your mother with. He said it's a girl, and it came as a girl. Yeah, that's a mu'jiza, you know, karama. Yeah, he said it was a girl. He told her the girl, the daughter, your sister, the other sister. She was surprised. I don't have another sister. He says so and so and so person is pregnant, and she will be giving birth to a girl. So, hey, Miss, why did I come to this? The information went out of my brain. What was it? Ah, that's okay. The Umm Kulthum case, subhanAllah. So they introduce this daughter of Umar radiallahu anhu. Thank you very much. They introduce her to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar wanted to marry her. She said, I don't want. Aisha went to her, she said, what's wrong with you? This is Umar radiallahu anhu. She's referring to this is the Khalifa of the Muslimin, Umar radiallahu anhu. She said, I don't want. No. Yeah, this is when everything is going in the right way. They told her, this is Umar. You have to think properly. She said, I don't want. Aisha said, why are you rejecting him? You know, because this is what a person should be looking for. You're going to be the wife of the Khalifa. She said, I don't want. They ask her why. She said, because he's harsh. Yeah. So that's balance of the harshness is still there in the mind of the people. Although Umar was not like that. If you go through his leadership, you will understand a very gentle and soft person. You Allah, very merciful and kind person. You know, used to go to the house of those old sisters, you know, and serve them at night, cook for them, clean their house, you know, and then come out. And nobody knows that Umar was doing this, you know, in secret. He will go and take care of those people who are looking for somebody to take care of them. Very gentle. That's why the Ru'asa and the leaders, they said, Umar put us into trouble because nobody can reach that benchmark that he left for us. The way he led the Ummah, they were saying that he really put us into trouble. How can we reach him? You know, very gentle and a kind person. So, but people already know him to be that harsh person. That's why in the history, one of the strangest story I have heard, I was reading this in one of the books that talks about the qada, you know, judgment in Islam, the laws in Islam. It mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a case of a sister who is being visited by a group of brothers. From time to time, they get into the house. And the husband went for jihad. So she's alone in the house. And then Umar got news that some people went inside the house when he's not around. So Umar was not happy with that because it is our responsibility to protect his family. Yeah. It's our responsibility to protect his family. So he called her. I don't know what the policeman tell her, you know. Allah guide her. Allah guide him. You know? So on the way, the woman was going to Umar radiallahu anhu with that person. I don't know what exactly he told her. She got scared. She said, Umar is looking for you. Myself. Yes. What did you do? What exactly he discussed with her, she got scared. Subhanallah, she took his permission, you know, her health started getting deteriorated. She took his permission to go inside a house next to her, and she had a miscarriage of a child she's having. She was pregnant at the time. She had a miscarriage. Subhanallah. Our strong fear of Umar radiallahu anhu that caused her to lose the child that she is carrying. So when Umar heard about what exactly happened, he wasn't happy. See what happened, you know. And he told Ali bin Abi Talib, you have heard what happened, what to do now? He says, we are responsible. Subhanallah. That's Islam. He told him, we are responsible. Because she is afraid of the authority. Whatever we are looking for, it is not established on her. We just want her to come for answering some of our questions about those people who went to the house, who are they? You get the idea. So Ali ibn Abi Talib told him, we are responsible. We have to pay all the damages and the dia of the child. Not anybody else. Government have to deal with that. All our life in those days, you know, subhanAllah. Very interesting. Very interesting. Where the government don't have interest in that which is in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. And whoever is a leader and knows this, he will take this manhaj of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, they even mentioned that they gave him 1.5 dinar or 2 dinar, I think, in a day. Yeah. Like Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr also, when he was going to the market to get into the business also, as usual, you know, to feed his family, Abdurrahman bin Auf told him, no, it is not appropriate for you as a president to go in the marketplace. And that's really a good concept. Because market, if government exists in the market, I mean, entities, personal, people who are related to the government, they also have their own business in the market. Market will never be in a good way. Because regulations are going to be passed according to the interests of those ones only. Yeah, that's why they have to stay away from the marketplace. Then the market will function properly. Yeah. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, I was talking about Abu Bakr, so Abdurrahman bin Auf told him, it is not appropriate for you. He said, go back to your house. We will give you every month or every day, every month, you know, some part of a sheep and also some dinar, which is enough for you, for your family. Just go and get busy with the affair of the Muslimin. We'll give you what you need. Yeah. The same manhaj also to Umar. Umar did not stay away from the marketplace all day. And Umar, even his children also, he told them not to go. He went to the market and he found very nice and beautiful camels. He asked, these camels belong to who? They said, these are your son's camel. Said, which one? They said, Abdullah. Abdullah bin Umar. Yeah. He said, okay. He kept quiet. At night, he called him. He said, Abdullah, I went to the marketplace last time and I saw camels and I'm told that these camels belong to you. He said, yes, they're mine. He says, I did not get them from any, this is my personal money. He said, yes, I know, this is your personal money. You do not take from the government, but don't you think it is more appropriate for you to stay away from the market? Because if your camels exist in the market, people are not going to let their business go until yours finish due to the fact that you belong to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, please accept my apology. Sell these camels and take the capital and the profit, put it in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. SubhanAllah. So many events, if you go through the study of Umar, the case of Mudaraba also is the best example when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari gave them camels and asked them to sell the camels on the way, invest in them and take the profit and give the capital to the Amir al-Mu'mineen because the camels belongs to the Bayt al-Mal. You know, and they did. And Umar refused to agree with this. He told them to put everything in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. That's how the leader, a leader should be. And whoever knows the responsibility on his shoulder when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to do this. He will Allah. Whoever knows the responsibility on his shoulder when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to be according to this. So we are talking about Umar radiallahu anhu, not being harsh, you know, during his leadership. He was very soft and gentle, and he led the Muslim, you know, in the right way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let's move to questions.
Two questions. Yeah. Number one, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. Two questions. Number one, in the Quran, Allah spoke about Banu Israel, and Al Yahud. And in some instances, like وَلَقَدْ اخْتَرْنَاهُمْ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ وَفَضَّلْنَاكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And then he talked about Al Yahud. So what's the difference between Banu Israel and Al Yahud?
The same. Yahud and Nasara, they're all Bani Israel. Bani Israel is the children of Israel, who is Yaqub alayhi salam, and the Yahud and Nasara. Because Nasara, they're also Jew, all of them. They're Jew, all of them. Because the family is the same family. They're coming from Yaqub alayhi salam. It's just when Isa was a Jew, 100%. It's just that the followers from the Jew who followed him, they were hated by the rest of the criminals. They hated them. Yeah. So that's why we end up having the Nasara. Yeah. We end up having the Nasara. Wallahu alam why they call Nasara, because Jew and Nasara also, this is not a name of a religion sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a title and a nickname given to a group of people for recognition. Yeah, that's why they said Yahud. They either call Yahud because of their brother, the brother of Yusuf alayhi salam, the older brother, Yehuda. Or they are called Yahud because they say Inna hudina ilayk in the Quran. Aytubna ilayk, ya Allah, we are repenting to you. Whatever the case might be, that Yahud is a title given to those people who claim that they are following Musa alayhi salam. And Nasara, either they are called Nasara because of the saying of Isa alayhi salam, Man Ansari ilallah, or because they are coming from a city called Nasrana. You know, whatever the case might be, this word Nasara is used to address those people who claim to be following Isa alayhi salam. Yeah. So they are referring back to Yaqub alayhi salam, who is the Israel. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل طعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة. You know. So and when he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying وَفَضَّلْنَاكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ it's referring to the Jew. Yeah. If you look at the history, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to some of the scholars, came from the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the Jew. The vast majority of the prophets to our knowledge is from the Jew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا وَآتَاكُمْ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ Allah made you as kings, leaders. And he said this also in Surah 2, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً Surah Sajda. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ We made them أئِمَّة, leaders, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ See, they got the leadership because of what? Two things, patience and yaqeen. Yeah, yaqeen. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on yaqeen, so they got the leadership. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ So they were the one, the same people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a lot. But as he said, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ They're not equal. Yeah. مِنْ أَهْلِ كِتَابِ أُمَّةٍ قَائِمَةٍ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَا اللَّيْلِ You have very, very righteous and dedicated to Ahlul Kitab. Very, very good and excellent in the time of Musa alayhi as-salam. After that, they start, even in his time, they were not equal. You know, some of them are very righteous, some of them are very corrupt. And this righteousness in some of them also remains until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, then there is no righteousness anymore. There is no righteousness anymore except to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, that's the only righteousness. The way they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they don't change it to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to do through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their will be useless. Yeah, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. A prophet will come and then another one will come with Sharia, some abrogation of the previous Sharia for the benefit of humankind. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep the old system, we might get into trouble. No? We might get into trouble. Yeah. Imagine the time of Musa alayhi salam when if Najasa touch you, you know, you have to scratch the place and remove the skin. You must do that. How do you deal with your life then? It was a very tough life, you know, and many things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it prohibited upon them, which in our Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it halal and make it easy for us. Yeah, so it's not good for them, but they're just so arrogant. They know it is better for them to follow the Sharia of Muhammad, much easier for them. Better for them is the only way for them to succeed in life. But since he is not from the Jew, they don't want to accept him. May Allah grant us good.
So those from Banu Israel who followed the prophets like Talut and you know those who fought with Talut and you know the righteous people from is it correct and also the righteous people who followed Prophet Isa, is it correct to call them Muslims as well?
Of course. There is no any other correct opinion except this. They're Muslims. They're not Jews. They're Muslims. Allah never sent a religion called Judaism. Never. The only religion he sent was Islam. Yeah. Adam was a Muslim. Musa was Muslim. The followers of Musa were Muslims. All of them are Muslims. Yeah. Allah says the only religion he sent is Islam. Yeah. So Nasara and Nasraniya and Judaism. And so I like the correction that somebody made when he says we always say al-adiyanu samawiya, the heavenly religions. And this is wrong. This is wrong. We cannot say heavenly religion because religions, because there is only one religion that came from the heaven, and that's Islam. Just ask until the adhan. Yeah. Nazim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. I wanted to ask about a specific hadith. I once came across a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I think it was concerning the end times, and if you see like the signs of the end of times, you shouldn't go out and you should stay in your houses. I think there was a hadith like this.
That's Dajjal. The time of the Dajjal.
Yes. I wanted to know because I came across this hadith when I was really young, and I interpreted it in the way that I'm not allowed to go out of my house at any point. So I just want to have clarification on this hadith.
Okay, it's not that you're not allowed to go out of the house when the Dajjal comes. No, everyone is allowed to go out of the house, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is responsible to advise us, you know, with the best in the way we can stay away from falling into trouble. The Dajjal, when he comes with so many things that are based on illusions, which things which only Allah can do, but he will be doing. Allah gave him this ability to do as a test for everyone. So it's not easy for you to confront the Dajjal and to maintain your iman at the same time. That's why he said, "Man sami'a bid-dajjal falyan'anhu." Whoever hears about the Dajjal, he should stay away from him. It doesn't say stay home. No, stay away from him. The Dajjal is in, inshallah, I'll never come to you, right? But the Dajjal is in which place? Another place, you know, some other place. Stay in UI. Don't go. If he managed to come here, go out. Stay in another place. Usually when he visits a place, he's not going to come back to that place again. Because he has a lot of job and he has only 40 days. Only. And he's supposed to visit every part of the earth except Mecca and Medina. So when he comes to the place where you are, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't go out to him. Don't follow. Because, you know, trust me, if I tell you, I went to Mahalla. No. Ruqayya. Yeah. I went to Mahalla Ruqayya and I saw Shaitan. And I'm telling you, and you are in the Faculty of Economics. You ask me, Shaitan? I say, yeah, Shaitan. Trust me, you're going to rush to go and see how he looks like. Yeah, and then you fell into his trap. That's how it is. Yeah. If you see him, you might spit on him and curse him. But if somebody told you about him, you're going to go. You know? So that's the attraction is there. So the Prophet said, if you hear about Dajjal, don't go. Don't visit the place where he is, because what he's going to be showing is really too much for the person to maintain his iman. Imagine he tells a person, okay, this is the grave of your father. I say, yes. Your mother also is here, yes. He tell them to come out, and they came out. And the person already knows them. He sees them precisely his parent. In reality, they are not. They are two shaitan. But how does he know, you know? Yeah. So that's the judge. That's why the Prophet said, don't go. But he doesn't mean don't go out of your house.
Okay.
He can go out of your house, but don't go to the place where he exists.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
May I ask one more question? I think in today's talk that you gave, I think in the beginning, I think you mentioned that the Jewish people are the enemy of humanity because they believe in killing all of the people that aren't Jewish. And however, like in these days in social media, I see that some Jewish people actually support for humanity. So how would you clarify that?
You were supposed to link the end of my lecture with the first part of it. And then this question will be answered. And I guess, okay, when I was answering the question of Yusuf,
yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laysu sawa'a. They are not equal. I think when I was answering his question, I said, Jews are not equal. But generally, they have this belief inside what they wrote by themselves. They call it a Torah, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
This is their books. They write it, and they claim that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they believe that human beings, the only humans is them.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned this in the school, you know, in the past. And subhanAllah, recently also one of them was saying that we are just fighting haywanat, we are fighting animals.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, so many people are saying, well, this is so strange. How can you call people animal, you know? But to me, it's not, because I learned long ago that according to that book they have, which is not from Allah, but they claim it is, that no human being exists except somebody who has Jewish blood. That's why you will not see a Jew, unless if they change, Jew doesn't invite somebody to his religion. Because they believe you cannot join that religion. You're not pure enough for you to join them.
Okay.
Allah created us according to them. We look like human beings,
mm-hmm.
so that a Jew can have comfort to deal with us.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would not be comfortable to him to deal with animals if we are to be in the form of animals. So Allah make us according to them in the form of human beings so that they will be comfortable dealing with us. So what you hear them saying is just a reflection of the belief inside the book. But there are some who are not accepting this. Although with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't accept Allah, but they're good to the humankind. We have heard a lot of those people who are supporting, you know, human beings and saying that the truth is that the Jew doesn't have a state. All of those European people who went to Palestine and fight, they don't even agree with them to be Jews. You get the idea? Because according to what is there with them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is also in the Quran, وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمًا. Allah says, we cut them into pieces on earth. That's why you see them everywhere. And wherever they go, they have to be under an agreement, a pact, a protection by some other people, up to date. If the US is going to withdraw their support to them, they will not exist. All of the European countries who brought them to the place, if they are going to withdraw their support, they will not exist. But they exist to do whatever they are doing because they're backed by some people. But as I said, at the same time, they're not equal. You have a few who are very dedicated. As the last one says, Laysu sawa'a. You have a few who are very dedicated. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if I can have 10 people from the Jews to accept me, he said, there will be no Jew on earth except that he's going to accept Islam. These are the leaders of the Jew. But unfortunately, only one accept. Abdullah ibn Salam. He's the only one who accept. The rest, they don't. And they confess that we know he is the truth, we know he's the last messenger, and we know he's the only way to success, but we don't accept him because he wasn't a Jew. Yeah. So there are some who are not like those criminals. They're not doing
it. Okay, I understand. Thank you very much.
May Allah guide them and guide us. Okay. The time finished. Okay, inshallah, those who I did not answer their questions, please exercise and maximize your patience. Inshallah, the next class, I will pay the debt. Bidillah. Barakallahu feekum. أقوله هو. أعلم ما تكتب.